After those songs, I feel like I should be reading the passage where Jesus talks about being the door of the shepherd, of the sheepfold, or where he talks about being our shepherd, or maybe where Peter reminds us that Jesus is the great shepherd. Because certainly the songs we have sung this morning have emphasized the idea that we are to follow him. We are to give ourselves over to his leadership and his guidance, and we are to follow his instruction in all things, rather than being somebody that's an ornery sheep. I'll kind of keep the same picture there. We want to talk about high maintenance this morning. And certainly if we were using the image of a shepherd in the sheepfold, as some of those songs should have invoked within your thoughts and minds as we sang, when we're talking about something that is high maintenance, we would be talking about ornery sheep. Sheep that are hard to keep in play. Sheep that you have to constantly watch after and care for. Always having to do something for them. Or we also need to keep in mind that what we might be making reference to are those who are always in need. Sometimes legitimately, sometimes not. Certainly we recognize that having brethren around us and the relationship and the comfort and strength and encouragement that we get from that is a great and wonderful blessing. Paul told the Roman brethren that those who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings or infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. We have a responsibility to help those that are less fortunate or less able than we. And certainly we read in the Galatian letter in chapter 6 that we have a responsibility that if we find someone in a transgression, those of us who are spiritual, those of us who are strong, who are able, are to restore them in a spirit of gentleness, but keep watch on ourselves lest we also be tempted. Because we are, as he continues in verse 2 of that chapter, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We have an obligation to help those that are less fortunate than we are. That's part of the relationship we have together, responsibility as brothers and sisters in the family of God, that we assist and help those that are in need. But Paul continues there in the Galatian letter, verse 4 and 5 of chapter 6, and says, each one is to test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. While we do have responsibility to help those that are less fortunate, each of us, even those who are weak, have a responsibility to strengthen ourselves, to grow in the Lord such that we can take care of our own needs and obligations. Just like we raise our children up to take care of themselves so that one day when we're unable to take care of ourselves, they will be able to care for us. As we talked about a little bit in our Bible class this morning, we as Christians need to grow up in the Lord. We need to come to an understanding. Because as Paul told the Roman brethren in Romans 14, each one is going to give an account of himself to God. Won't be held accountable for me. And that's why when the Hebrew writer writes there in Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us that we need to strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble and make straight paths for your feet so that those that are lame may not be put out of joint but may be healed. We need to grow and strengthen ourselves so that we can carry our load and be able to assist those that are in need. But we recognize that sometimes there are those who never progress from being supported to being able to take care of themselves. They become very dependent upon brethren and remain such. Unless they are constantly egged on or nurtured by the brethren, if somebody's not talking to them all the time or dealing with them, they fall away. These brethren are the ones that we make reference to here when we talk about those who are high maintenance. Certainly when we talk about high maintenance, we all understand what we're talking about. Every one of us at some time or another have had something or someone in our life that we could very easily describe as high maintenance. I've had some vehicles that were very high maintenance because Every time I went to use them, I had to do something to get them to work. Jordan's laughing at Chris because of what he's got, probably, or having to work on something all the time. My lawnmowers were high maintenance. I've heard John talk about his tractors and baling equipment and stuff and having to work on them. I don't know that he calls them high maintenance, but he has to do a lot of work on them. When we have something that every time we want to do something with it, we have to go and fix it before it'll work. That's what we're talking about. Whether we're talking about mechanical things or we're talking about employees that have to constantly be egged on and pushed in order to get them to accomplish anything. Sometimes we have those that we love. I got sweethearts up here because it goes either way, that are high maintenance. It takes a lot to keep them involved. And unfortunately, sometimes we have Christians that are high maintenance. Now, we need to do what we can to keep ourselves from being that, from having to be pampered or coddled in order to be able to produce anything in the service of the Lord. I've known some in the past who, although they were well on in years, had been members of the church for a long period of time. If somebody didn't call them every week, they wouldn't show up for services on Sunday. Somebody didn't deal with every single little bitty thing that happened to go a little bit awry, they didn't think their brother loved them. We need to be careful of such things. Yes, as we talked about, there are those who are going to be high maintenance. And we don't refer to them as high maintenance because we recognize it's something that is necessary. The babe in Christ is someone that takes a lot of work. Just like a newborn baby takes a lot of work. You got to get a child up to where they're 2 or 3 years old before they start taking care of some things on their own. And then you still got to watch them closely until they get on up a little older. Maybe by the time they're 16, you can turn them loose and hope that they'll take care of everything they're supposed to on their own without having to be, well, no, they're teenagers then. But children of God are the same way. When someone first becomes a member of the body of Christ, there's a lot of learning that's involved. There's old habits that have to be dealt with and overcome. There's new practices that need to be engaged in. There's a lack of understanding, a lack of knowledge. And we as stronger brethren have a responsibility to assist those brethren. That's, to some degree, that's a lot of what Romans chapter 14 is about. As those who are strong need to support and help those who are weak. And those who are new Christians or babes in Christ certainly are going to take a lot of work. We're going to have to put forth a good deal of effort in order to help those brethren to overcome and to deal with their troubles and their trials and their tribulations. There are Christians who are hurting, who are in sorrow, who are having to deal with loss. We have to do what we can to assist and help those also. We need to recognize we have a responsibility toward them. Sometimes even the whole congregation can be a problem. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, beginning in verse 1, "But I, brothers, could not address you as a spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you're still of the flesh. For while there's jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos,' are you not being merely human?" When Paul writes to these brethren here, while he's writing the congregation as a whole, and certainly it seems to be an overwhelming problem in that congregation, also understand he's talking about individual members of that congregation. He said, "I'm hindered in doing my work because I have to spend so much time explaining things to you." We're reminded of this in the Hebrew letter as well. We'll make a little stronger reference to this a little later. But remember, the Hebrew writer wrote and said, "I want to talk to you about Melchizedek and the priesthood and his kingship and how that compares to Christ, but I've got to explain things to you before I get started. So it's going to be hard. In fact, I'm not even sure that after I explain things to you that you're going to be able to understand, because you're still a babe. Certainly, there's a responsibility to help those who are young in the faith, but they need to develop and grow such that they can move beyond that. When Paul wrote to the Corinthian brethren again in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, we read, "For I fear that perhaps when I come, I may not find you as I wish, and that you may not find me as you wish, that perhaps there may be quarreling, jealousy, anger, hostility, slander, gossip, deceit, or conceit, and disorder. I fear that when I come again, my God may humble me before you, and I may have to mourn over many of those who sinned earlier and have not repented of the impurity, sexual immorality, and sensuality that they practiced." Here again, Paul said, you haven't grown. I'm having to baby you. I'm having to deal with things that ought to have already been corrected. Remember, when he wrote the 1 Corinthian letter, he talked to them about the man who was living in sexual immorality and told him to correct it. But here, when he writes the second letter, evidently they were still having some problems with sexual immorality in that congregation. You're taking up a lot of my time, Corinth. I've got other things that I need to be doing. And yet I'm having to constantly come back and deal with you. We've talked about how the book of 1 Timothy in particular was written to Timothy to remind him of those things that needed to be done in the city of Ephesus. Here's a congregation that had been established many years before, had solid, sound elders, at least at the time that Paul talked to them in Acts chapter 20, they seemed to be solid and sound, yet now Paul had to send one of his most diligent assistants to spend time in Ephesus to get them straightened out, instead of being able to send Timothy out elsewhere to preach and teach the gospel. He had to be back in that congregation. Why? Because those people were high maintenance. They needed a lot of work. And it was distracting from the work of the Lord. This is one of the main things we need to understand. When we've got folks who are high maintenance, it gets in the way of getting the work done. Now, on the other hand, we read when Paul wrote to the brethren in Philippi, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7, "I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel." What a difference when Paul talks to the Philippian brethren versus when he talks to the Corinthian brethren, or he talks to Timothy about the Ephesian brethren. How many times did Paul have to go back through Philippi to get things straightened out, to deal with problems there? I see no record of any times. There's several times he goes through, but it seems he passes through and greets the brethren and goes on somewhere else. Why? Because those brethren had grown. Those brethren had taken the Word of God deep within them and made it a part of who they were, and they were able to care for themselves and for their own. They didn't need Paul to send Timothy over there to take care of them, to set things right. We need to understand that not just individuals can become high maintenance, but congregations can become high maintenance as well. And no matter whether it's individuals hindering the church and its work, or it's a church as a whole hindering the work of the Lord, something needs to be done to correct it, because it's going to just cause continual problems. Certainly, there are instances where dealing with problems are necessary in all congregations and in every Christian's life. Even those of us who have been Christians for a long time and are sound and solid and stand firm, there may be some things that come up in our life that cause us to need a little more care. The loss of a loved one, loss of support or of financial means, as was, you know, been mentioned about others, the loss of a home due to some disaster or something. There may be a time where there's a little extra needed. But overall, once we move beyond being babes in Christ, we ought to be able to stand on our own. We ought to be able to care for our own study and upkeep. In fact, we ought to be able to get to the point that we can go and help someone else. Certainly, the Scriptures teach us that we have an obligation to help those who are less fortunate. Paul, when speaking to the Thessalonian brethren, "We urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all." Notice the difference in terms used. Admonish the idle, but encourage the faint-hearted and help the weak. With those two who are in need of, it's a little different attitude we approach them with and we assist them. But the idle, the one that's just not doing anything, we rebuke a little stronger. Certainly patience with all, but we have an obligation. Certainly we recognize that when we are involved so much with individuals, we are not able to continue to grow and to increase in the Lord. Whether we be talking about evangelism or edification, those are the responsibilities of the church, aren't they? Well, if the church is spending all its time trying to keep you coming to services on a regular basis, how much time can it devote to reaching out to those that are not members of the body of Christ at all? If all of our members need someone to hold their hand every day throughout the week, how are we going to spend time with those that are not even a part of the body of Christ? Now, certainly, these things need to be accepted and understood in the context of all. We do have a responsibility to consider our brethren and to keep in touch with one another, to encourage and strengthen one another as we continue to grow. I can't see that the Philippian brethren had gotten to the point that none of them ever talked to each other again except when they were gathered together for worship services. I suspect if they had been in that condition, the Apostle Paul would have been doing a little bit of rebuking of those brethren. Because they do support and help one another, continue to edify and strengthen, but that should not be taking over all of our time. When we're spending all our time taking care of the needs of one individual, who's taking care of the needs of this? We need to be careful. The way that we overcome these things is by working on self. Paul had a lot of work that he wanted to do. We remember from the Roman letter, Paul wanted to go out and preach the gospel where nobody had ever heard the gospel before. Yet he kept having to go back and deal with these individual brethren in these congregations where he'd been before because there was so much work that he had to do with them. And sometimes we can find that to be the case with us in our local congregation. In order for us to overcome these things, to get beyond the need to have to help one particular individual all the time, or have to spend all our time encouraging and strengthening the brethren so that they will work together, each of us needs to work on individual growth. Yes, we start out with a lot of needs, but we should grow to where we can take care of those needs ourselves and even supply the needs of others. We made reference to this passage in Hebrews chapter 5 just a moment ago, where the Hebrew writer, in telling them, "I wanted to talk to you about some very important things," he says, "but by this time, though you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he's a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Are we growing and strengthening ourselves to the point that we can take care of ourselves and help take care of others? I often have a moment of concern when I hear of a congregation that says, we have to have somebody come and work with us on a regular basis. If we don't have a located preacher here, how are we ever going to grow? Because what that tells me is that congregation is putting all their hopes on one single person. Especially when you look at a congregation that's got men who have been studying and learning from the Bible and applying its principles in their lives for the past 20 or 30 years. Why is it that they have to have somebody come work with them on a regular basis in order for them to grow? Should it not be possible that those congregations are able to care for themselves, edify and strengthen one another, at least to some degree, for some period of time? Have we become so dependent upon the idea of one man coming in and doing all the teaching that we've failed in teaching ourselves, learning how to teach others? We should all be growing individually. It disturbs me when I am associated with a congregation that has a number of those who are in various positions where they teach or instruct or overlook and such. And yet when it comes time to find somebody to teach the Bible class, nobody can. Been in congregations where over half of the ladies were in the school system in some form or another as teachers. Yet when it came time for the Bible classes to be taught, nobody stepped up and said, hey, I can do that. In congregations where men have been in positions of leadership where they've had to stand up and direct people and tell people how to do things. And yet when it comes time to give a lesson from the Word of God, they're not able to do that. Why? Because they've not grown. They may have grown in their industry. They may have grown in their field, but they've not grown in the Lord to such a point that they feel confident to preach and teach the gospel. Now, I'm fully aware that the ability to stand up in front and proclaim is not the only thing involved in preaching and teaching. There's a lot more involved. Physical ability can hinder us sometimes. But oftentimes, it's because we've not grown ourselves to the point that we're confident to talk to other people about the Word of God. And as such, according to what we read here, we're still babes. If we've not grown to the point that we can not only take care of ourselves, but we can also teach others, we're still a little bit young. No matter how long we may have been in the faith. Because the Hebrew writer doesn't say it would be a good idea if you were able to. He said you ought to be by this time. And notice, he didn't say you who have been leaders, you who are elders, you who are preachers ought to be. This letter is addressed to Hebrews, scattered across the world at that time. Maybe sent more particularly to the Hebrews in the area around Jerusalem. But still, it's addressed to everyone, not just one particular group of people. And he said, by this time, you ought to be teachers. Yet you have need that someone teach you again. Where in that statement or any other teaching in the pages of Scripture does it give us an out that says, well, I'm going to let Brother so-and-so do it for me? We need to grow. We need to expand our knowledge and our understanding of the will of the Lord. We need to be strong in the faith. Now, this doesn't mean that you've got to be able to understand what the wheels inside of wheels mean in Ezekiel's vision. But it does mean you need to understand the principles of salvation. You need to understand the responsibilities that are placed upon the one who is going to be a child of God and is going to serve the Lord. You need to be learning at least how to present those things to others. Are we all going to be teachers? No. But we all should be growing to the point that we're able to teach others. That we are skilled in the Word of the Lord rather than unskilled. That we've exercised our knowledge, trained ourselves to know how to discern between good and evil. And we need to strengthen ourselves. Certainly it is good to have brethren who can stand beside us and hold us up when we are weak, when we're injured, when we're hurt, when we're young. But we should come to the point that we have our own strength, and our strength comes to us from God directly. There was a point at which in my life, much of my faith and my strength was based on my parents and my grandparents and what they had taught me through all those years. But there came a point where it had to shift from that. And it had to become my strength. It had to be my knowledge. I had to be the one receiving the strength from God, because it wasn't sufficient for God's strength to my dad to be passed down to me. He had to use that strength. I needed my own. Individual strength. Paul told the Philippian brethren that he had all strength through Christ. Not speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low and how to be abound, how to abound in any and every circumstance. I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Who strengthens him? Christ. Christ was his rock. Christ was his foundation. Christ was his muscle. Christ gave him the strength to do everything he needed to do. Why? Because Paul had devoted himself to learning and understanding the will of God. He'd studied the Word and applied it in his life and exercised those things such that it built him up. And he had a strength that would allow him to stand. And think of the things that Paul stood against. And then compare them to the things that we have to stand against today. Oh no. Somebody didn't like my Facebook post about Jesus. Well, I know so-and-so saw it, but he didn't give an amen. No, that person that's been my best friend all of my life said, I don't agree with you. Shouldn't we be able to develop the strength to overcome those things and to deal with those situations? Be able to bear up under those difficulties and trials and struggles? And I know there are things much more difficult to overcome than Facebook comments. But if Paul could find the strength in Christ to do what he had to do, shipwreck, stoning, constant followed by the Jews telling people that he was an idiot and they ought not listen to him and trying to take his life, putting him in prison, surely we can find the strength in Christ to stand on our own two feet and serve the Lord. Blessed be the God and of our Lord Jesus, Father of our Lord Jesus, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we shall share abundantly in comfort too. If we're afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. We oftentimes read that and think about that when we are suffering for a loss of a loved one or something. I know I've turned to that verse many, many times after we lost Rebecca, as a reminder that God is helping me and I need to learn to help others. The comfort God is giving me is not just for me, but it's so I can comfort others who are in a like situation. And I would have never believed the number of situations that would have arisen since then where that kind of comfort was needed. But notice, Paul says we need to be able to help others, not continually have to be helped ourselves. If I'm always having to be helped, how am I going to be able to help others? How are my brethren going to be able to help others? Are we the troublesome sheep that constantly has to be watched and cared for? The one that has to be picked up and carried over to the pond in order to get a drink, or carried into the sheepfold in order for it to come into the shelter? Or do we hear the shepherd's voice and come at his call? We have a responsibility to grow and increase in our knowledge and our understanding of the will of the Lord, so that rather than being the one that is always being helped, we're the one that is providing the assistance, because we're able to stand. And we're able to stand firm because we put on the whole armor of God. We're strengthened by Christ and through His Word. And we've taken the time to read and to study and develop our spiritual muscles and minds, so that when the difficult times come, we're the ones that are standing in front. If something comes along where there is a need, we're able to fill it. We're able to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are strong and we're able to help the failings of the weak rather than pleasing ourselves. We are well aware that we're having to be responsible for ourselves. We're having to bear our own load. The wise man wrote in Proverbs, "Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys." Think about that. If you're not able to carry your own load, you're causing problems for someone else who's having to carry it for you, and thus they're not able to do the other things that they need to do.
Yes, there are times when each of us needs a little extra love and care, a little extra guidance. Even the strongest of us will need a little help every now and then. But each and every individual Christian has a responsibility to develop themselves in the service of the Lord such that they can stand on their own. We don't stand alone because we have our brethren around us. But you remember the old adage, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link? Are you the weak link? Cord is only as strong as its weakest threads. The wall is only as strong as its weakest point. When we stand against Satan together, are you one of the strong, stalwart ones that will be there and hold everything together? Are you the spot that's beginning to crumble and never was built up well to begin with? When the last Satan slips in. Individual responsibility. Even though we're a congregation working together, each one of us has an individual responsibility to serve the Lord and to grow and to increase such that we're able to stand for God without having to have somebody hold us up all the time. Are you the one who stands? One has to be propped up. Diligent in your heart. If you've not grown as you ought in the servant of the Lord, we encourage you to make steps to correct that. Spend more time in the Word of God. Find somebody to help you to learn. Be that bait for a little while until you can grow beyond. Understand. Turning from your ways. Ask God to forgive. You've never come up. Remember the body of Christ. You're of no help to the Lord at all. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You're willing to confess that before men and before God. You're willing to give your life over to Him. Turn away from all the things of the world. Then confess your belief in Christ and be buried in baptism and have your sins washed away. So that you can be a part of the body of Christ. And then spend your time growing and learning and strengthening yourself. So that you can be an active and useful member of the kingdom of the Lord. You're straight from that. Correct it. Pray to God and ask Him to forgive it. Congregation can assist you in these things. Time and opportunity is yours. All right, come. Amen. Amen. Amen.